At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's begin now.
Wednesday night in Kansas City, after hours, shortened show, 6 to 8. Royals take over at 8 o'clock. First pitch set for 8:05. You will get starting to get those feels, starting to get that opening day vibe again. Remember, tomorrow night, no after hours. You get a special edition of Joshua Vaina, the greatest voice in Kansas City. You get 3 hours of Vern's hot stove as he gets you set up for the Royal season. He'll get you everything you need to know when it comes to what this season could be, what it could look like, players that might be of interest for you. Vern, tomorrow, 6 until 9. I honestly ain't mad about it. That's the opening, I guess the true opening day of college basketball. I'm indecisive of what point of the day that I want to become a scumbag. Do I want to start after I get off from my morning job and go maybe find a spot and a TV and some cold beverages? Or do you just go to the house on Thursday and just sit on the couch and then kind of feel it out? I don't know, man, but I get really excited for opening day in the March Madness tournament. I really do. I think it's... you know, I just think it's one of those things. You always remember. We are here until 8 o'clock tonight. JT Noah, Dusty Likens with you here on 610 Sports Radio with After Hours. The 913 Hate Crown Jewel. The boss is back. Casey Hunk. That's right. Better believe it. The boss is back, baby. I've seen all the songs he's been putting on tour. It's been nice. Been good to see. Right now, a play-in game is Grambling State, Montana State. I know 0% of anything about these teams. JT, who do you think is supposed to, or who do you know is supposed to win this game?
Yeah, it's Montana State. Okay. Grambling State is making their NCAA debut into the tournament.
Okay.
So this is their first time ever in March Madness.
And then tonight we have Colorado and Boise, and you're on Team Boise. I'm obviously on Team Colorado. I have my Coach Prime hoodie on.
Look at you. Yeah, I'm Team Boise State. I think they got seated way too low. Mm-hmm. I thought they were more of an 8-9, mm-hmm. or actually 7-8, and they got a 10. They said they're the last team to make it in. I couldn't believe it.
I do want to play because I'm going to try to have as much fun with this show today because I was obviously around like 3 o'clock the new stadium talk broke. I will replay you Carrington and Bob's interview about what it means, what's been said. I trust both of those guys. I heard a splash of it, but I want to replay it for those of you that missed it. We'll do that at 6:30. We'll have a little bit of fun tonight for 2 hours. We will, I promise you today, we will do the out of left field question. We won't be on at 8, but we'll do it at 7 o'clock because it just feels like it's been a stressful day. It's been so beautiful. It's been a nice crisp outside, a solid day today, and it just feels stressful. I'm not voting yes. I'm not voting no. I don't want a new stadium. Billionaires do. I'm pissed. I'm happy. Let's get it over with. I voted early. Let's just have a nice night. Let's just love each other tonight, you know? You can tell that there's some people that don't agree with what you have to say.
And I know there's people that don't agree with what I have to say or how I go a certain way when it comes to situations. So we should just try to have a little fun tonight. A little kumbaya, you know? Tonight's a good night to just relax. So we'll get into that as well. Some interesting news out of baseball a little bit later today or a little bit later tonight as well. But I want to start with March. I want to start with March Madness because JT brought up a good point. And it kind of piggybacks to the point that I make. And I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong here, but I would say that maybe March gives us the same feeling to the college basketball season that maybe like a movie like Gladiator gave you, right? Or maybe even like reading like a long novel, like if you read the Dune books or you read, or if you've watched Dune or, you know, something that took a while to develop that gave you glimmers of hope, but at the very end or the final fourth of that novel or show, it was just like every single second was like, boom, interest, interest, interest all the way through, right? And I feel like that's what the college basketball season is. I think that's what the college basketball season is always like. And I think that's why March always, or this tournament, always seems to kind of have the same feel. I'll be honest with you. College basketball in October, November, hell, half of December, doesn't really mean anything to me. Conference tournaments are always kind of a nice little appetizer to what we might see soon. And then March hits. And we've all got memories of March, right? We all know where we were when Purdue lost last year. They're the number one seed. And the first cliche thing comes out. And it's just like, ha, oh, God, my bracket's screwed. I had Purdue in the Final Four. Or you had Purdue, and everybody exchanges brackets. That's always kind of been a thing when it comes to this sort of era in the season of sports. And I think that that's what's so great about it. Plus, there's also like some sort of nostalgia with it. Like what JT was talking, he, you know, fills in, does some substitute teaching. And I remember being in school on Thursdays and Fridays. And every once in a while we used to, and this is how old I am, we used to have huge TVs that hung up in the classrooms, like from the ceiling. It looked like they could fall at any time. And I would watch March Madness on certain teachers' TVs. Shout out Mr. Vanderpass, Coach Pollard, Coach Johnson, all throughout. And it would, you'd get CBS, it might be a little blurry, but they'd have a throw it away day when March happened. Or when you got to high school, you could kind of walk through the hallways during times and see the AD office had the TV on in Blue Springs High School, or you would see that. And that's kind of that nostalgia thing. It's not like you followed along the whole year. Yeah, you've got people that are in tune to college basketball throughout the season that might know certain things more than other people. But there is nothing better than a win all or go home, pure chaos sort of thing. And it takes everybody's attention and brings it in there. And that's what I think is so great about March Madness. Because it took one game yesterday to get that feeling, right? You went the entire season without college basketball hype, right? You probably couldn't tell me the top five athletes in college basketball right now, right? Doesn't matter, though, because at this point, you're going to watch five guys play against five other guys with everything they've got, and it always gives you the best result. And I think that's the best part about it, because you've always got little memories, whether you're a KU fan, whether you're a Duke fan, North Carolina fan, UConn, whatever, Villanova. You remember your little title runs or whatever they were, and now you're back in March, and it's like, you know what? I kind of like this again. This is chaos. This is pandemonium. There are games from 11 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock at night. And it's great. And it's fun to watch, because when you have these sort of things that happen and you watch different things develop, there's always certain storylines that stick with us throughout the years. And if you don't remember any of them, it's fine, because there's always going to be somebody getting upset. There's always that big game that's going to come tomorrow and we don't know where it's at. Oral Roberts over Ohio State in 2021. St. Peter's over Kentucky in 2022. Fairleigh Dickinson over Purdue last year. And what happens this year? Does Houston go down to Longwood? Does Illinois go down to Moorhead? We don't know. Somebody's going to get upset. And what's crazy is you remember how wild last year was in March, right? You remember how wild it was. And everybody thought to themselves, this has been the craziest March Madness tournament we've ever seen. And then you think to yourself, oh yeah, transfers, NIL deals. Now you can take that year last year and you can add even more spice to it this year. And I'm telling you what, JT, I guarantee you Friday night when I do this show again, there'll be at least two games we talk about or that I'll talk about because I know you're not here, but there'll be two games we'll talk about on air that were the biggest takeaways from Thursday. And there might even be one early in the Friday session.
Yeah. So you talked about how you always remember something. So last year, I'm at college still, and my professors will know this because they knew me too well. Thursday, Friday, started March Madness. They knew I was sick because, oh no, I can't make the classes.
Yeah.
Well, Friday, I got to hear the whole thing from my girlfriend. Like, I have a perfect bracket. I have a perfect bracket. Yeah. She had a perfect bracket all the way to Friday night. What happened Friday night? Oh, that's right. FDU happened.
Yep.
And guess what? She had in her perfect bracket Purdue winning the whole thing. And if you know the ESPN, it goes by point system. So she went from first to very last because she lost all her points. Mm. I'm telling you something. There's going to be an upset and no one's going to see it coming. I have a good friend who's an Iowa State fan. I tell him, I said, dude, I'm worried for you. He goes, why? He goes, why? My team's great. I'm like, that's the problem. You're so high on what your team did in the Big 12 tournament. This is a new tournament and everything's up in the air. I'm telling you, there's going to be something fishy's going to happen. And he's like, I swear to God, if we lose now, this is on you because you're talking about it. I was like, I'm just telling you. Everyone remembers what happened when you had Florida Gulf Coast, Dunk City. I was in a classroom and my coach, my teacher's like, yo, what is happening? So I'm pumped. I don't know if you'll see a 16 over a 1 this year, but I'm telling you, I think there's going to be a 14 over a 3. I just don't know where it's going to come from. It could be Samford over KU. Well, they're a 4 seed, but still, it's going to be somewhere down the line.
Yeah, I think it's just interesting because last night you had the two story takeaways were the first game ended. It was a 3-point game, and there were three consecutive 3-point shots to tie the game.
And they were good looks.
And they were all right up the front of the rim, front of the rim, front of the same team rebound. So it's that March feeling. And then the next game is exactly what's the epitome of what can happen.
It's the Big 12 football.
Yeah, it's just
Big 10.
Big 10. It just turns into a turd. And now we've seen Tony Bennett's teams lose in the first round as a 1 seed, come back the exact same year and win the national title. He just lost a game last night where a lot of people thought they shouldn't be there, and they didn't score a point in the final 9 minutes and 20 seconds in the first half. He lost to UMBC in the round of 64. That was the year before he won the national title. He lost to a 13 seed Ohio. He missed the tournament in 2022. He lost to Furman 2023, and he lost to Colorado State last night. So there are all these like weird things that always seem to happen. And I thought it was funny too because Stephen A. Smith, of course, never shy, had this to say about Tony Bennett and the men's basketball program. Oh no. Okay, hold on.
It's not funny. I take no joy in saying this, but if it were me, I'd fire him. Strictly because of being boring. Literally. Oh, I'm not questioning his ability as a coach at all. He's a national champion, for crying out loud. I'm not questioning his ability as a coach, but you cannot be that boring, that unappealing for so long and get away with it. Let me throw this by y'all, right? Because I had this looked up. Virginia scores 14 points in the first half. They go to final 9:20 of the first half scoreless and the final 10 minutes and 30 seconds of the game without a field goal. So think about that for a second. You go 9 minutes and 20 seconds without scoring anything, a field goal or a free throw, over one half. And then the second half, you went the final 10 minutes and 30 seconds without a field goal. There isn't a level that I've seen that level of atrocity on offense, on a basketball court. I mean, that's just bad. And so, yeah, we got to look at the system. But people have been telling you that for years. The Virginia Cavaliers came into this tournament as the 194th ranked offense in the country. My God. I'm not questioning the man's acumen. I'm not questioning his ability to know basketball. I'm not questioning any of that. He's a champion. But boredom matters. When if you're not appealing at all,
That's a reason to go like, look, man, we need more excitement.
What a way to kick off March Madness. What a way to kick it off.
All right.
By the way, Kim.
So again, facetiously at the very end, way to kick it off. But again, here we go. And you know, we'll keep you posted. Grambling State 26, Montana State 27. 5 minutes left later on, Colorado versus Boise State. But coming up on the other side, did you know baseball started today?
No.
Plus, there was another big story that came out right before we started this show where somebody was stealing from, I would assume, their best friend. Not good. Soon to be a Rich of the Week candidate. This JT Noah, I'm Dusty Likens. Neither one of us are Rich of the Week, unless maybe you ask Alex Gold. I'm probably one this week, but I digress. This is After Hours. Listen to 610 Sports Radio.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
On After Hours, here for another hour and a half, and then we are out of here, mister.
Kind of feels weird. We always say the 3 hour goes by fast. Well, this is going to be a zooming private jet.
Lightning quick. Lightning fast. I will give you all an out of left field question tonight. Could be fun. Could hate it. Who knows? Someone does bring up a good point on the text line from the 816, which is something I talked about 2 weeks ago. It says, can we talk about how the women's tournament might be better than the men's this season? Can't wait for it. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to put a significant wager Friday evening on Iowa to win the national championship. They are plus 550. At least they were last night. I haven't looked today. They were plus 550 last night. South Carolina, I believe, was like minus 140. Everyone in the world, I think, is rooting for Caitlin Clark and to see what they can do at Iowa. And then I will just ride the coattails of what Caitlin Clark can do every single game, like over points, over assists, over rebounds.
Are you just trying to get on Kling's good side?
I don't know, man. I'm trying to get on the good side of money. And I feel like that's one of those situations where, look, man, I don't think there's anybody more stone cold blooded in that tournament than she is. This is one of those this is one of those sort of moments where we tend to see it. This is the last ride for her. And it's either going to be a total flop or it's going to go up in the history rafters as one of the best runs we've ever seen from an athlete in a tournament. And that's what these things can do.
Yeah. I'm going to say this. It's, I don't watch much women's basketball. We watch Caitlin Clark and we'll watch Angel Reese. Right. But I think it's so spectacular what South Carolina has done, going undefeated the whole season, and I don't know if you can, but I can't name a single player on their basketball team.
No.
Right.
No.
Like, that is pretty good coaching right there to have that happen, and you don't have, like, a star name popping out like Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese.
Yeah, and I mean, it's how they, I think, marketed, obviously. Iowa still plus 550. South Carolina still minus 140. LSU plus 750. Texas plus 1500. After that, it's irrelevant to any of that. But there was something kind of interesting today that I found quite entertaining. And that was baseball started. Like, if baseball ever has any sort of question of depression, or any sort of inquiry of
why people don't follow the sport. The answer lies within itself. Baseball does not know its own brand. Baseball doesn't know what it's doing. And the problem with baseball is that it contradicts itself, because baseball wants to be relevant. I really think it does, right? But they refuse to try to make themselves relevant. They refuse to fix the sport within, and they refuse to fix the sport outward towards everything else. Like, I'll be honest with you. I would probably say I watch too much TV. I watch a lot of sports. I watch a lot of sports-driven networks. I watch a lot of different events on nights. Right now, the TVs are on True TV watching Montana State and Grambling State because it's currently what's going on, and I'm interested in the outcome of this game. But I have yet to see anywhere of significance of what opening day is about to be or who is really pushing the opening day envelope. Nobody is. Nobody cares about baseball. And the reason nobody cares about baseball is because baseball doesn't care about itself. And baseball is one of those products, at least right now, where the last time I think baseball was at its hottest peak was when Ohtani and Mike Trout were facing one another in the World Baseball Classic. That, to me, was like the last time baseball really had a buzz about it, where people actually cared or were admitting that they were watching the sport. And the other problem that baseball has, right, it won't fix itself out into the public to kind of push itself. The Royals are doing a great job of it. The Royals have made corny jingles. The Royals are pushing a Bobby Witt Jr. opening day bobblehead.
You absolutely love the commercials.
We play the jingles. I think they're great. Why are they great? Because A, they're trying, B, they're different, and C, they're kind of funny. And you put all that together, and you can kind of make something about that. Whereas somebody might be like, I'm not going to go to opening day. Oh, there's a Bobby Witt Jr. bobblehead. Oh, I heard this song. Kind of sounds funny. Kind of sounds like I might get my ass to the ballpark. Sounds like a good deal. The other problem is they're not just fixed. They don't fix itself. What does the NFL do? The NFL has been the most successful sport in North America for at least 20 years. And I'm sure it's more than that. I'm sure it's 25 years. And it's no secret. And every single year, the NFL breaks down what's not right about it. What should we change? This year, one of the biggest focus points was the hip tackle. The NFL immediately this offseason says, you know what we might do? Put a 15-yard penalty on hip tackles. Oh, this has been an issue. Okay, we're going to fix this. Baseball doesn't do that. There is no reason to play 162 games. Then baseball says, oh, well, we can't put these guys in certain accolades or certain areas in our history or shrine of baseball, or baseball Hall of Fame, because they have, you know, tainted records because of doing certain illegal substances. But yet, you don't want to change the rule. You don't want to change gaming because you don't want to mess up with history. You don't want to mess up with records. Your records are irrelevant. The greatest hitter of your history is not even in the Hall of Fame, nor is it recognized as somebody of significance. The fans know. One of the greatest pitchers to ever play the game. Not recognized. Why? Tainted records. But we won't change the game. And they won't tell you. Like, we had no idea there was a game in Korea today. We woke up this morning. They were playing baseball. Nobody knew. Two big teams, too. Dodgers, Padres. Two of the biggest well-known teams in baseball itself. For what that is, it seems kind of redundant to say. But again, baseball doesn't care about itself. They're not trying to promote themselves. They're not trying to fix themselves. And then in the same lieu of things, an interesting, terrible, bad story breaks. Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, amid questions about the transfer of $4.5 million from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation under federal investigations. That was from ESPN's Tisha Thompson. Initially, a spokesman for Ohtani told ESPN the slugger had transferred the funds to cover his interpreter's gambling debt. The spokesman presented that to ESPN for a 90-minute interview Tuesday night, during which his interpreter laid out his account in great detail. However, as ESPN prepared to publish a story Wednesday, the spokesman disavowed the interpreter's account and said Ohtani's lawyers would issue a statement. Quote, in the course of responding to the recent media inquiries, we discover that Shohei Ohtani has been the victim of massive theft, and that we are turning the matter over to the authorities, read the statement from the Burke Brettler LLP. The spokesman declined to answer any further questions, and the statement did not specify whom they believe perpetrated the alleged theft. So again, not a good look. Not off to a good start, baseball. We got less or I guess we have a week from tomorrow, and we have baseball starting, and your two biggest stories, at least in my opinion, are an interpreter stealing from its client. Not only that, baseball started, and no one knew it, and it was the Dodgers and the Padres. Baseball is, if it ain't completely dying, there's about one beat every 4 seconds on the heartbeat. Coming up on the other side, if you missed it today, Bob Fesco. He joined Carrington Harrison on his show, The Drive, to talk about the stadium news. I have to give you some sort of stadium news. I'll give you this interview because I think it brings up a couple of good points made by Bob Fesco himself. We'll get to that. On the other side of that, we'll dive back into more after hours because you love to see certain things about the Chiefs, and I could talk about the Chiefs all year long. And this little snippet that I saw on Twitter today gives me some belief that we're going to be talking about this exact same topic in January next year when football really matters. It's JT Noah. I'm Dusty Likens. Coming up next, Fesco on the stadium news that dropped today from Carrington Harrison's show, The Drive. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio, and this is After Hours.
Let's go to the phone lines right now and be joined by Bob Fesco. Fesco, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good, bud. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So I'm reading this press release from the Royals and the Chiefs, and it all just feels very generic to me. What was your, I guess, response? What was your reaction on reading this email that they just sent out?
Well, I think it's really impressive about what the Royals and Chiefs are about ready to do here. First of all, the Royals are going to put in $150 million back to the community, which is the largest, CBA, I want to keep saying collective bargaining agreement, but community benefits agreement in Major League Baseball history. In fact, combined with the Chiefs, it's the largest CBA in the history of the United States of America. So I think we have to approach it from that standpoint. So the Royals are putting in $140 million, and the Chiefs are going in $126 million. Their lease, obviously, is going to be a little bit shorter, than the Royals' lease is going to be. So all told, we're talking well over, $260 million or whatever it is, $266 million that both teams are giving back. And that doesn't include the $200 million that they're basically forgiving the county of, whether it's, paying for the park levies, the insurance on the stadium, all that kind of stuff. I really think this is a sweetheart deal that the county is being offered right now. And it's going to be the best deal that any public entity, and I say public entity, any kind of, community or anything like that, is going to receive from the Royals and Chiefs. I mean, this is really a great deal. It's the best deal in the United States of America. No other city has seen anything like this. And I've talked to people who are kind of on the fence, and they're all saying, yeah, I'm a yes vote now because I like what I see in this community benefits agreement.
I am curious, though, you saying this and that this is such a great deal. It is surprising, then, that the head of Jackson County is opposed to this deal. Like, you would think that the head of Jackson County would support this deal if it was in the best interest of Jackson County. But Frank White seems pretty emphatic that it doesn't.
Well, I don't know if that really matters to anybody anymore, quite frankly. I mean, Frank White has been against the stadium for I don't know how long now. We've been talking about this, and this has been on his desk for 2 years to negotiate and to talk, and he chose not to do anything about it. And, Frank White also doubled everybody's property tax in Jackson County and didn't tell them they were doing that. So I just right now, what Frank White has to say, for me personally, I'm not really paying much attention to the county executive, because if I knew 2 years ago plus what was going on with the stadiums, Frank White knew 2 years ago plus what was going on with the stadium. And he's had ample opportunity to sit down and negotiate and talk. This was not a rush process like he claims it was. He's had long, long periods of time to do this. And I really think when I look at what's going on with Frank White, I can't help but wonder if he's still upset that he's no longer part of the Royals organization on TV or the manager or a coach for the Royals organization.
Right now we're talking to Bob Fesco, getting his thoughts on the email that was sent out by the Royals. Bob, are you surprised that there's so much opposition to this? Because, I mean, you and I have lived here for a long time. I feel like 4 or 5 years ago there was such an excitement about the possibility of a downtown stadium until we started having the conversation about one, and it feels very, very split right now.
Well, sure it does, and I think when you're against something, you're going to be louder, right? If you don't like something, like you don't like the iced tea in the break room or something, you're going to say we need better iced tea, and you're going to be loud about it. But the people who like the iced tea in the break room are going to be like, that's fine, I got nothing to say about that. I like what's going on here, and I'm going to move on. So I always wonder how much true opposition there really is, or if the opposition is always louder. And then after looking at this community benefits agreement and seeing all the job creation that they want to do, the women and minority-owned businesses that they want to help out, the education money for Kansas City Public Schools, the mass transit funding that they're going to help you know, with all of this and whatnot, and create, you know, high paying jobs. I just don't understand why people would be against this. This is a great thing for our entire city. This is a great thing for everybody, you know, in Jackson County to keep both of these teams. There's not going to be another offer. There's not going to be another opportunity for Jackson County to sit at the table. And there sure is not going to be another opportunity for a great deal like this. I think both teams, as I've said for about a month now, Carrington, have better opportunities from a public money standpoint from other entities in town. I mean, Mark Donovan even said it, what, a week ago, that, yeah, if this fails, we're going to leave Kansas City. So they're talking to other entities out there. They're talking to other communities out there right now. Nobody is going to get a sweetheart of a deal like Jackson County is going to get on it. And is it going to cost people a little, you know, bit extra? Not really, because you're already paying that tax. That tax is already in place. It's just an extension of that tax. And I believe by having the Royals and the Chiefs both in Jackson County and in Kansas City, Missouri, it's great for the metro area. Just think about that 1% earnings tax that all the athletes have to pay when they come in here and play a game, and how that supports the police force and the firemen and 911 and all the ambulance services that people use on a daily basis, or the libraries, or for all the public services. That 1% earnings tax is a big chunk of change, and you don't want to take that, you know, 1% of what Taylor Swift's making on a nightly basis in Kansas City, or Vinny Pasquantino's making, or Patrick Mahomes is making, or any visiting ball player is making, and take that out of the city budget.
Right now, we're joined by Bob Fesco, getting his thoughts on the community benefits agreement that has been released by the Kansas City Royals and the Chiefs. Bob, are you surprised that Frank White hasn't been more visible? I mean, if you are the head of Jackson County in the way that he is, and you are opposed to this, I'm surprised that he's not at the forefront of the no vote.
Well, yeah, you would think if you're really against this, right, that you would be out there telling folks why. I just feel like the entire process has been, you know, just handled poorly. You know, I think the rollout of the process was handled poorly. I think the way Frank White has handled things has been handled poorly. Like, I just don't understand why it has to be like this when there's been ample time, right? I mean, I've been hearing about the new stadium, and it was supposed to be in the East Village until the city said, no, we want it in the Crossroads. And so the Royals did a pivot, and that's why it's going down to the Crossroads, because that's what the city wanted done. And so they figured they you know, do what the city wanted, and the drawings look great, and it looks like a beautiful location to connect, you know, the Power and Light District with the new park and the ballpark. It's going to be spectacular. But I've known about this stuff for well over 2 years. And if I've known about it, Frank White has had to have known about it as well. And I keep going back to the fact that this has been sitting on his desk for over 2 years and he's done nothing about it. If he was against it and didn't like the original plan, they all should have sat down in a room led by him, because he's the county executive, and said, let's sit down and figure out a plan that works for everybody, so we're all in unison, we're all in lockstep on this, and we can get this passed to keep the Chiefs and Royals in Jackson County where they belong. It's the rightful home. And Frank White never did any of that.
Right now, we're talking to Bob Fesco. Fesco, one thing that has been interesting. So yesterday, I went to the KC Tennis rally, and they're coming on the show later. Both sides are very, very optimistic that they are going to win. Like, the no vote feels very confident that this is not going to pass. And you and I have both talked to people on the Chiefs and the Royals off the record that also feel very confident. This is as split. Like, if this thing passes, I find it hard to believe that it's going to be overwhelming. Like, it feels very, very split right now on what side is going to win.
No, I think it's a 52-48 type of vote, Carrington. Yeah, I'm with you right now. But again, people who are against something are very loud. People who are in favor of something usually don't say much. They don't hold rallies. They don't do those kind of things to get their voice out there. They know what they're in favor of, and they're going to go vote. So it will be interesting to see ultimately what the voter turnout for this is. I think it should be pretty high, and I hope it's pretty high. I hope all voter turnouts are high. I hope everybody votes every time there's an election. It's your right, and you should go and exercise that right every time you have an opportunity to do so. But I'm just interested to see how it is going to play out, because I do think it's close. I think it's closer than anybody wants to let on, and I think it's going to be 52-48 one way or the other. It's going to be a very close vote. And you know, if this thing fails and people in Missouri are celebrating that, you know, this thing failed, don't be surprised the next day to hear from Kansas the Chiefs are going to start breaking ground by the new Mattel complex out there in Bonner Springs.
That is Bob Fesco joining us on the show today to give his reaction to the letter that we just got from the Royals and the Chiefs. The Royals and the Chiefs plan on committing over $266 million in a community benefits agreement. That is in addition to the money that they are already planning on spending. I understand that the Royals are getting the new stadium and the Chiefs aren't. It is really jarring how much more the Royals are committing to this project than the Chiefs are.
No doubt. And you're right. It is a new stadium, and it's a 40-year lease as opposed to renovations and a 25-year lease. So, I mean, technically the Royals should be in more. But again, you know, John Sherman is the owner of our franchise right now. And quite honestly, we're lucky to have him. He's the owner that everybody wanted for all those wasted years of the Glass family owning this team and just doing nothing with it. We've got a local owner that, you know, founded a business here in Kansas City, was a Royal season ticket holder, lived his entire adult life here in Kansas City, has helped hundreds of nonprofits, has put hundreds of kids through college with the Sherman Scholars Program that normally would not have been able to go through college, spent $400 million in the offseason on salaries, is putting in over $1 billion of his own money, creating the greatest community benefits agreement in the history of Major League Baseball and the United States by giving $140 million back to Jackson County. That's not including, as you mentioned, the insurance and the parks levy and all that kind of stuff that they're just forgiving. You know, so there's so much that John Sherman's doing, and yet there's still angst for John Sherman, and I don't understand that. He's the owner we've always wanted for the Royals, and I think we need to embrace it and be excited and be you know, fired up about this, because this is the last piece of the puzzle for our city. I mean, you're watching the current stuff on Saturday, and my wife and daughter are down there talking about what a great sports atmosphere it is. Everybody's talking about what a great sports town Kansas City is, and the Chiefs are doing their thing, and the Royals are on the come right now, and you'd hate to kill that momentum on April 2nd.
That is our guy, Bob Fesco, joining us on the show today. Fesco, I appreciate you.
You got it, my man. Anytime.
Back in on After Hours. Dusty Likens, JT Noah with you until 8 o'clock. Royals take over. First pitch, 8:05. Brady Singer, I believe, is on the mound. I know he's on the mound. Now I'm second-guessing myself. I'm pretty sure it's Brady Singer tonight. We're almost there. We're almost there. I just saw an article that just came out. Maybe not an article, but more so like a tweet.
You're correct. Brady Singer is on the mound.
Okay, that's what I thought. And I guess one of the funny things that I saw was with baseball, because somebody said I was fear-mongering. Baseball, that it's doing just fine. What? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'll admit when I'm wrong always. But I did see that the Miami Marlins are selling all-you-can-eat seats starting at $52. It goes all the way through the seventh inning. You can pick four items for the all-you-can-eat seats. Those items are water, cookies, peanuts, popcorn, hot dogs. Now it gets erotic. Chili dogs, chili nachos, cheeseburgers, nachos with cheese, non-alcoholic beverages. What are nachos without cheese, by the way?
Aren't those just chips? Tortilla chips?
That's what I was wondering, because it says nachos with cheese.
Oh, with cheese, yeah. Then it's the ones where you get the little container and you have the little dip. Okay. I guess it's just,
isn't that just nachos?
Preferencing that it's a tortilla chip dipped in nacho cheese.
Yeah, because otherwise it would just be chips and salsa if you got salsa with it. But yeah, all you can eat seats, $52. I feel like I would just go hot dogs, nachos with cheese, a non-alcoholic beverage, and probably like peanuts. I don't know.
I think I go cheeseburger over hot dog.
Okay. You smashing more than one cheeseburger?
No.
In seven innings?
I can't eat that much anymore.
Right?
Because of the surgery I had. Now, before surgery, I'd be putting down three probably.
Ugh.
I'll be honest. I'd be eating that food like crazy. People always thought I was weird. I always liked the nacho cheese, liquid cheese on my cheeseburger instead of the sliced cheese.
That's gooey. We'll do the out of left field question here in about 7 minutes. But before we do that, I think that there's a conversation that we'll have right now on March 20th. That we will possibly have on January 20th. Why? Because the Chiefs are always relevant in January. Sorry about your depressing teams, Denver, Vegas, and Los Angeles. But the Chiefs will be relevant again in January. And one of the reasons why is because we'll be going back and talking about how they make the right moves at the right time in the offseason and why they have good offseasons as opposed to other teams have bad offseasons, Pittsburgh. And it starts with what you see. And I thought the greatest thing that we saw was on Twitter or Instagram, whatever following you tend to be on more, you've seen pictures of Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, and Patrick Mahomes already hitting the laboratory.
Love to see it, right? Great chemistry starts early and lasts the longest, and that's what the Chiefs seem to do. Last year, Rashee Rice went to Pat Camp, and one of the comparisons that Patrick Mahomes gave Rashee Rice early on was that he was a lot like Sammy Watkins. Seemed to stay true throughout the season. When people go back and look at the season that was, when they started to evaluate Rashee Rice a little bit more and open up his playbook a little bit more, you could kind of see that there was three things that really stood out with the way that he was playing his game. Eagerness, that was one of them. He was ready to be that guy. And for a while throughout the season, we had asked ourselves on this show a lot, like, is there a receiver in that room that's going to stand up and say, enough, feed me the ball. I won't let you down. I'll give you everything you need, and you can trust me. And Rashee Rice did that. Chemistry is another one that's there. And then this, just being selfless or unselfish is a good way to put it. Rashee Rice knew.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Let's go to the phone lines right now and be joined by Bob Fesco. Fesco, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good, bud. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So I'm reading this press release from the Royals and the Chiefs, and it all just feels very generic to me. What was your, I guess, response? What was your reaction on reading this email that they just sent out?
Well, I think it's really impressive about what the Royals and Chiefs are about ready to do here. First of all, the Royals are going to put in $150 million back to the community, which is the largest, you know, CBA, I want to keep saying collective bargaining agreement, but community benefits agreement in Major League Baseball history. In fact, combined with the Chiefs, it's the largest CBA in the history of the United States of America. So I think we have to approach it from that standpoint. So the Royals are putting in $140 million, and the Chiefs are going in $126 million. Their lease, obviously, is going to be a little bit shorter, you know, than the Royals' lease is going to be. So all told, we're talking well over, you know, $260 million or whatever it is, $266 million that both teams are giving back. And that doesn't include the $200 million that they're basically forgiving the county of, whether it's, you know, paying for the park levies, the insurance on the stadium, all that kind of stuff. I really think this is a sweetheart deal that the county is being offered right now. And it's going to be the best deal that any public entity, and I say public entity, any kind of, you know, community or anything like that, is going to receive from the Royals and Chiefs. I mean, this is really a great deal. It's the best deal in the United States of America. No other city has seen anything like this. And I've talked to people who are kind of on the fence, and they're all saying, yeah, I'm a yes vote now because I like what I see in this community benefits agreement.
I am curious, though, you saying this and that this is such a great deal. It is surprising, then, that the head of Jackson County is opposed to this deal. Like, you would think that the head of Jackson County would support this deal if it was in the best interest of Jackson County, but Frank White seems pretty emphatic that it doesn't.
Well, I don't know if that really matters to anybody anymore, quite frankly. I mean, Frank White has been against the stadium for I don't know how long now. We've been talking about this, and this has been on his desk for 2 years to negotiate and to talk, and he chose not to do anything about it. And, you know, Frank White also doubled everybody's property tax in Jackson County and didn't tell them they were doing that. So I just right now what Frank White has to say, for me personally, I'm not really paying much attention to the county executive, because if I knew 2 years ago plus what was going on with the stadiums, Frank White knew 2 years ago plus what was going on with the stadium. And he's had ample opportunity to sit down and negotiate and talk. This was not a rush process like he claims it was. He's had long, long periods of time to do this. And I really think when I look at what's going on with Frank White, I can't help but wonder if he's still upset that he's no longer part of the Royals organization on TV or the manager or coach for the Royals organization.
Right now, we're talking to Bob Fesco, getting his thoughts on the email that was sent out by the Royals. Bob, are you surprised that there's so much opposition to this? Because, I mean, you and I have lived here for a long time. I feel like 4 or 5 years ago, there was such an excitement about the possibility of a downtown stadium until we started having the conversation about one. And it feels very, very split right now.
Well, yeah, sure it does, and you know, I think when you're against something, you're going to be louder, right? If you don't like something, like you don't like the iced tea in the break room or something, you're going to say we need better iced tea, and you're going to be loud about it. But the people who like the iced tea in the break room are going to be like, that's fine, I got nothing to say about that. I like what's going on here, and I'm going to move on. So I always wonder how much true opposition there really is, or if the opposition is always louder. And then after looking at this community benefits agreement and seeing all the job creation that they want to do, the women and minority-owned businesses that they want to help out, the education money for Kansas City Public Schools, the mass transit funding that they're going to help with all of this and whatnot and create high-paying jobs, I just don't understand why people would be against this. This is a great thing for our entire city. This is a great thing for everybody, in Jackson County to keep both of these teams. There's not going to be another offer. There's not going to be another opportunity for Jackson County to sit at the table, and there sure is not going to be another opportunity for a great deal like this. I think both teams, as I've said for about a month now, Carrington, have better opportunities from a public money standpoint from other entities in town. I mean, Mark Donovan even said it, a week ago, that, yeah, if this fails, we're going to leave Kansas City. So they're talking to other entities out there. They're talking to other communities out there right now. Nobody is going to get a sweetheart of a deal like Jackson County is going to get on it. And is it going to cost people a little, bit extra? Not really, because you're already paying that tax. That tax is already in place. It's just an extension of that tax. And I believe by having the Royals and the Chiefs both in Jackson County and in Kansas City, Missouri, it's great for the metro area. Just think about that 1% earnings tax that all the athletes have to pay when they come in here and play a game, and how that supports the police force and the firemen and 911 and all the ambulance services that people use on a daily basis, or the libraries, or for all the public services. That 1% earnings tax is a big chunk of change, and you don't want to take that 1% of what Taylor Swift's making on a nightly basis in Kansas City, or Vinny Pasquantino's making, or Patrick Mahomes is making, or any visiting ball player is making, and take that out of the city budget.
Right now, we're joined by Bob Fesco, getting his thoughts on the community benefits agreement that has been released by the Kansas City Royals and the Chiefs. Bob, are you surprised that Frank White hasn't been more visible? I mean, if you are the head of Jackson County in the way that he is, and you are opposed to this, I'm surprised that he's not at the forefront of the no vote.
Well, yeah, you would think if you're really against this, right, that you would be out there telling folks why. I just feel like the entire process has been, just handled poorly. I think the rollout of the process was handled poorly. I think the way Frank White has handled things has been handled poorly. Like, I just don't understand why it has to be like this when there's been ample time, right? I mean, I've been hearing about the new stadium, and it was supposed to be in the East Village until the city said, no, we want it in the Crossroads. And so the Royals did a pivot, and that's why it's going down to the Crossroads, because that's what the city wanted done. And so they figured they do what the city wanted, and the drawings look great, and it looks like a beautiful location to connect, the Power and Light District with the new park and the ballpark. It's going to be spectacular. But I've known about this stuff for well over 2 years. And if I've known about it, Frank White has had to have known about it as well. And I keep going back to the fact that this has been sitting on his desk for over 2 years and he's done nothing about it. If he was against it and didn't like the original plan, they all should have sat down in a room led by him, because he's the county executive, and said, let's sit down and figure out a plan that works for everybody, so we're all in unison, we're all in lockstep on this, and we can get this passed to keep the Chiefs and Royals in Jackson County where they belong. It's their rightful home. And Frank White never did any of that.
Right now, we're talking to Bob Fesco. Fesco, one thing that has been interesting. So yesterday, I went to the KC Tennis rally, and they're coming on the show later. Both sides are very, very optimistic that they are going to win. Like, the no vote feels very confident that this is not going to pass. And you and I have both talked to people on the Chiefs and the Royals off the record that also feel very confident. This is as split. Like, if this thing passes, I find it hard to believe that it's going to be overwhelming. Like, it feels very, very split right now on what side is going to win.
No, I think it's a 52-48 type of vote, Carrington. Yeah, I'm with you right now. But again, people who are against something are very loud. People who are in favor of something usually don't say much. They don't hold rallies. They don't do those kind of things to get their voice out there. They know what they're in favor of, and they're going to go vote. So it will be interesting to see ultimately what the voter turnout for this is. I think it should be pretty high, and I hope it's pretty high. I hope all voter turnouts are high. I hope everybody votes every time there's an election. It's your right, and you should go and exercise that right every time you have an opportunity to do so. But I'm just interested to see how it is going to play out, because I do think it's close. I think it's closer than anybody wants to let on, and I think it's going to be 52-48 one way or the other. It's going to be a very close vote, and you know, if this thing fails and people in Missouri are celebrating that, you know, this thing failed, don't be surprised the next day to hear from Kansas the Chiefs are going to start breaking ground by the new Mattel complex out there in Bonner Springs.
That is Bob Fesco joining us on the show today to give his reaction to the letter that we just got from the Royals and the Chiefs. The Royals and the Chiefs plan on committing over $266 million in a community benefits agreement. That is in addition to the money that they are already planning on spending. I understand that the Royals are getting the new stadium and the Chiefs aren't. It is really jarring how much more the Royals are committing to this project than the Chiefs are.
No doubt, and you're right. It is a new stadium, and it's a 40-year lease as opposed to renovations and a 25-year lease. So, I mean, technically the Royals should be in more. But again, you know, John Sherman is the owner of our franchise right now, and quite honestly, we're lucky to have him. He's the owner that everybody wanted for all those wasted years of the Glass family owning this team and just doing nothing with it. We've got a local owner that, you know, founded a business here in Kansas City, was a Royal season ticket holder, lived his entire adult life here in Kansas City, has helped hundreds of nonprofits, has put hundreds of kids through college with the Sherman Scholars Program that normally would not have been able to go through college, spent $400 million in the offseason on salaries, is putting in over $1 billion of his own money, creating the greatest community benefits agreement in the history of Major League Baseball and the United States by giving $140 million back to Jackson County. That's not including, as you mentioned, the insurance and the parks levy and all that kind of stuff that they're just forgiving. You know, so there's so much that John Sherman's doing, and yet there's still angst for John Sherman, and I don't understand that. He's the owner we've always wanted for the Royals, and I think we need to embrace it and be excited and be you know, fired up about this, because this is the last piece of the puzzle for our city. I mean, you're watching the current stuff on Saturday, and my wife and daughter are down there talking about what a great sports atmosphere it is. Everybody's talking about what a great sports town Kansas City is, and the Chiefs are doing their thing, and the Royals are on the come right now, and you'd hate to kill that momentum on April 2nd.
That is our guy, Bob Fesco, joining us on the show today. Fesco, I appreciate you.
You got it, my man. Anytime.
Back in on After Hours. Dusty Likens, JT Noah with you until 8 o'clock. Royals take over. First pitch, 8:05. Brady Singer, I believe, is on the mound. I know he's on the mound. Now I'm second-guessing myself. I'm pretty sure it's Brady Singer tonight. We're almost there. We're almost there. I just saw an article that just came out. Maybe not an article, but more so like a tweet.
You're correct. Brady Singer is on the mound.
Okay, that's what I thought. And I guess one of the funny things that I saw was with baseball, because somebody said I was fear-mongering. Baseball, that it's doing just fine. What? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'll admit when I'm wrong always. But I did see that the Miami Marlins are selling all-you-can-eat seats starting at $52. It goes all the way through the seventh inning. You can pick four items for the all-you-can-eat seats. Those items are water, cookies, peanuts, popcorn, hot dogs. Now it gets erotic. Chili dogs, chili nachos, cheeseburgers, nachos with cheese, non-alcoholic beverages. What are nachos without cheese, by the way?
Aren't those just chips? Tortilla chips?
That's what I was wondering, because it says nachos with cheese.
Oh, with cheese, yeah. Then it's the ones where you get the little container and you have the little dip. Okay. I guess it's just,
Isn't that just nachos?
That it's a tortilla chip dipped in nacho cheese.
Yeah, because otherwise it would just be chips and salsa if you got salsa with it. But yeah, all you can eat seats, $52. I feel like I would just go hot dogs, nachos with cheese, a non-alcoholic beverage, and probably like peanuts. I don't know.
I think I go cheeseburger over hot dog.
Okay. You smashing more than one cheeseburger?
No.
In seven innings?
I can't eat that much anymore.
Right?
Because of the surgery I had. Now, before surgery, I'd be putting down three probably.
Ugh.
I'll be honest. I'd be eating that food like crazy. People always thought I was weird. I always liked the nacho cheese, liquid cheese on my cheeseburger instead of the sliced cheese.
That's gooey. We'll do the out of left field question here in about 7 minutes. But before we do that, I think that there's a conversation that we'll have right now on March 20th that we will possibly have on January 20th. Why? Because the Chiefs are always relevant in January. Sorry about your depressing teams, Denver, Vegas, and Los Angeles. But the Chiefs will be relevant again in January. And one of the reasons why is because we'll be going back and talking about how they make the right moves at the right time in the offseason and why they have good offseasons as opposed to other teams have bad offseasons, Pittsburgh. And it starts with what you see. And I thought the greatest thing that we saw was on Twitter or Instagram, whatever following you tend to be on more, you've seen pictures of Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, and Patrick Mahomes already hitting the laboratory. Love to see it, right? Great chemistry starts early and lasts the longest. And that's what the Chiefs seem to do. Last year, Rashee Rice went to Pat Camp. And one of the comparisons that Patrick Mahomes gave Rashee Rice early on was that he was a lot like Sammy Watkins. Seemed to stay true throughout the season. When people go back and look at the season that was, when they started to evaluate Rashee Rice a little bit more and open up his playbook a little bit more, you could kind of see that there was three things that really stood out with the way that he was playing his game. Eagerness, that was one of them. He was ready to be that guy. And for a while throughout the season, we had asked ourselves on this show a lot, like, is there a receiver in that room that's going to stand up and say, enough, feed me the ball. I won't let you down. I'll give you everything you need, and you can trust me. And Rashee Rice did that. Chemistry is another one that's there. And then this, just the being selfless or unselfish is a good way to put it. Rashee Rice knew that he wasn't probably the first option, and a lot of times wasn't the second option, and really had to prove his worth on this team. And Rashee Rice did exactly that. And when we go back, when we're in January next year, and we go back and look at why this team is 12-5 or 13-4 and why Patrick Mahomes is on the cusp of winning his third MVP of the league and why the Chiefs are another feared team, it goes back to stuff like this. Right. It goes back to stuff where you look at what happened early on. Right. Like, I watched a video today that made my stomach hurt. And it was just Russell Wilson out there doing passing plays by himself. Well, I guess there was somebody catching the passes, but there was no real true like, oh, we're working on this. I'm looking to do this. I've now changed my look to be this new type of Russell Wilson, which screams a lot of me, not a lot of we. And obviously, the Chiefs are not done. There's still a Jarius Sneed news out there. But when you look at Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown, the one thing that sticks out to me is another third good quality, which is there's no selfish play here. Neither one of them is like, oh, I'm the wide receiver one. I want to. No one of those guys screams that guy. And when you go into this next league and you think about receiver duos with their teams and who's better than the others, you still will have the Devonta Smith and A.J. Browns. You'll still have the Jalen Waddles and Tyreek Hill. But a new one that could come around and be very, very sneaky and very interesting will be the Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown combo that everyone will have two takes on. One will be, we knew this was going to be good because we've seen national media guys come out and say, this is a scary combo to have for Patrick Mahomes. You have a guy that can run the middle of the field and run out routes better than most for his age, being a second-year player next year. And then you have a guy that can take the top off the defense that doesn't drop the ball, who is somebody that Patrick Mahomes can trust and get back to that letting it loose and slinging it deep type of mentality. And you'll go back and look back at these kind of conversations and be like, well, it started in March, right? It started back before anybody was even worried about, you know, where they were going to be on a roster or before a draft had even started. And it's things that you love to see, and it's things like this that make the Chiefs consistently better than everyone else. And when people go back and look, they're like, oh, yeah, they paid that guy $1.3 million. And then you go look at the Tennessee Titans and you look at their record and you're like, oh, they're 7-10. And they gave Calvin Ridley $92 million. And then you look at the Chiefs and they're 13-4, and you look at their roster and like, oh yeah, Hollywood Brown, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. Rashee Rice, 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns. Travis Kelce, 1,100 yards, 7 touchdowns. Why does it work? They start early. They build the chemistry early so that they get through all of that. So by the time they get to training camp, it's just another day. They've already known everybody's tendencies. They know the chemistry. And then when the game starts, they're already statistically in so much more of an advantage than everybody else because of what they have in their own team and what they know their team is.
And it's the fact that they get a guy like a Hollywood Brown who claimed to say, yeah, there were other offers and more money out there, but it was Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Chiefs that made it a desirable place to be because I know I can win here and I know I can be accepted and I can work with one of the game's best. That's as simple as it gets. Because that's what the Chiefs do and that's the strategy they use. And if you have any sort of narc against it, you're wrong because they've won two in a row. They're going for three. They've won three under this reign of Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Travis Kelce, and they're not done yet. And they're showing you why they're great and why they're continuing to go forward in this whole sort of three-peat mantra because, in fact, they're already in the lab working together and they've been on the team for 3 days. You love to see it. Hollywood Brown, where do you think he goes? Third round in fantasy drafts? Late second round in fantasy drafts?
I would probably go lean late third round.
You could almost take like a late pick at Rashee Rice in the first round and come right back around and take Hollywood Brown and be like, I'll take my chances. I wouldn't do it, but you could do that.
I still would take, obviously, Kelce and Rice over Brown if
right.
those two were
Would
available.
You take Brown or would you take Pacheco first?
I'd probably take Brown just because I don't know if Pacheco will get the touchdowns.
They simplified this offense and won a Super Bowl. Now they've added an over-the-top deep threat who's a trusted option for Patrick Mahomes and could have a four-headed monster and add a rookie wide receiver in this loaded draft. By the way, if you need to know about the draft, Character Concerns podcast, Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero drops every Wednesday. Check those guys out. Somebody says on the text line, the Cardinals have an all-you-can-drink seats in the outfield for $100 at the Big Mac landing in the outfield. It's nuts. People just get beers and get right back in the back of the line and just hang out chugging until they're back in the front of the line. It's hot dogs, hamburgers, nacho bar, Bud Light or Budweiser or Busch Light, all-you-can-drink. Yeah, that's dangerous. $100, you get nachos, burgers, and a dog, and all-you-can-drink brews? Sign me up. Out of left field question night because we had a tense day. Had a lot of conversation today about a stadium. A lot of people getting frustrated. A lot of people stressed out. Let's have a fun conversation. We do the out of left field question every night at 8 o'clock when we have the show. We've only got an hour. We'll do it tonight to help you out. The question tonight, 913-586-7610. If animals could talk, what animal would be the smartest one? 913-586-7610. If animals could talk, which animal would be the smartest one in your opinion? 913-586-7610. JT Noah, Dusty Likens. Out of left field question next. You're listening after hours on 610 Sports Radio. Back in on after hours. Dusty Likens, JT Noah with you until 8 o'clock. Royals take over. First pitch, 8:05. Brady Singer, I believe, is on the mound. I know he's on the mound. Now I'm second-guessing myself. I'm pretty sure it's Brady Singer tonight. We're almost there. I just saw an article that just came out. Maybe not an article, but more so like a tweet.
You're correct. Brady Singer is on the mound.
Okay, that's what I thought. And I guess one of the funny things that I saw was with baseball, because somebody said I was fear-mongering baseball, that it's doing just fine. What? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'll admit when I'm wrong always. But I did see that the Miami Marlins are selling all-you-can-eat seats starting at $52. It goes all the way through the seventh inning. You can pick four items for the all-you-can-eat seats. Those items are water, cookies, peanuts, popcorn, hot dogs. Now it gets erotic. Chili dogs, chili nachos, cheeseburgers, nachos with cheese, non-alcoholic beverages. What are nachos without cheese, by the way?
Aren't those just chips? Tortilla chips?
That's what I was wondering, because it says nachos with cheese.
Oh, with cheese, yeah. Then it's the ones where you get the little container and you have the little dip. Okay. I guess it's just,
Isn't that just preferencing nachos?
That it's a tortilla chip dipped in nacho cheese.
Yeah, because otherwise it would just be chips and salsa if you got salsa with it. But yeah, all you can eat seats, $52. I feel like I would just go hot dogs, nachos with cheese, a non-alcoholic beverage, and probably like peanuts. I don't know.
I think I go cheeseburger over hot dog.
Okay. You smashing more than one cheeseburger?
No.
In 7 innings?
I can't eat that much anymore.
Right?
Because of the surgery I had. Now, before surgery, I'd be putting down 3 probably.
Ugh.
I'll be honest. I'd be eating that food like crazy. People always thought I was weird. I always liked the nacho cheese, liquid cheese on my cheeseburger instead of the sliced cheese.
Mmm. That's gooey. We'll do the out of left field question here in about 7 minutes. But before we do that, I think that there's a conversation that we'll have right now on March 20th that we will possibly have on January 20th. Why? Because the Chiefs are always relevant in January. Sorry about your depressing teams, Denver, Vegas, and Los Angeles. But the Chiefs will be relevant again in January. And one of the reasons why is because we'll be going back and talking about how they make the right moves at the right time in the offseason and why they have good offseasons as opposed to other teams have bad offseasons, Pittsburgh. And it starts with what you see. And I thought the greatest thing that we saw was on Twitter or Instagram, whatever following you tend to be on more, you've seen pictures of Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, and Patrick Mahomes already hitting the laboratory. Love to see it, right? Great chemistry starts early and lasts the longest. And that's what the Chiefs seem to do. Last year, Rashee Rice went to Pat Camp. And one of the comparisons that Patrick Mahomes gave Rashee Rice early on was that he was a lot like Sammy Watkins. Seemed to stay true throughout the season. When people go back and look at the season that was, when they started to evaluate Rashee Rice a little bit more and open up his playbook a little bit more, you could kind of see that there was 3 things that really stood out with the way that he was playing his game. Eagerness, that was one of them. He was ready to be that guy. And for a while throughout the season, we had asked ourselves on this show a lot, like, is there a receiver in that room that's going to stand up and say, enough, feed me the ball. I won't let you down. I'll give you everything you need, and you can trust me. And Rashee Rice did that. Chemistry is another one that's there. And then this, just being selfless or unselfish is a good way to put it. Rashee Rice knew that he wasn't probably the first option, and a lot of times wasn't the second option, and really had to prove his worth on this team. And Rashee Rice did exactly that. And when we go back, when we're in January next year, and we go back and look at why this team is 12-5 or 13-4, and why Patrick Mahomes is on the cusp of winning his 3rd MVP of the league, and why the Chiefs are another feared team, it goes back to stuff like this. Right. It goes back to stuff where you look at what happened early on. Right. Like, I watched a video today that made my stomach hurt. And it was just Russell Wilson out there doing passing plays by himself. Well, I guess there was somebody catching the passes, but there was no real true like, oh, we're working on this. I'm looking to do this. I've now changed my look to be this new type of Russell Wilson, which screams a lot of me, not a lot of we. And obviously, the Chiefs are not done. There's still a Jarius Sneed news out there. But when you look at Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown, the one thing that sticks out to me is another 3rd good quality, which is there's no selfish play here. Neither one of them is like, oh, I'm the wide receiver one. I want to. No one of those guys screams that guy. And when you go into this next league and you think about receiver duos with their teams and who's better than the others, you still will have the Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown. You'll still have the Jalen Waddles and Tyreek Hill. But a new one that could come around and be very, very sneaky and very interesting will be the Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown combo that everyone will have 2 takes on. One will be, we knew this was going to be good because we've seen national media guys come out and say, this is a scary combo to have for Patrick Mahomes. You have a guy that can run the middle of the field and run out routes better than most for his age, being a second-year player next year. And then you have a guy that can take the top off the defense that doesn't drop the ball, who is somebody that Patrick Mahomes can trust and get back to that letting it loose and slinging it deep type of mentality. And you'll go back and look back at these kind of conversations and be like, well, it started in March, right? It started back before anybody was even worried about, you know, where they were going to be on a roster or before a draft had even started. And it's things that you love to see, and it's things like this that make the Chiefs consistently better than everyone else. And when people go back and look, they're like, oh, yeah, they paid that guy $1.3 million. And then you go look at the Tennessee Titans and you look at their record and you're like, oh, they're 7-10. And they gave Calvin Ridley $92 million. And then you look at the Chiefs and they're 13-4, and you look at their roster and they're like, oh yeah, Hollywood Brown, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. Rashee Rice, 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns. Travis Kelce,
1,100 yards, 7 touchdowns. Why does it work? They start early. They build the chemistry early so that they get through all of that. So by the time they get to training camp, it's just another day. They've already known everybody's tendencies. They know the chemistry. And then when the game starts, they're already statistically and so much more of an advantage than everybody else because of what they have in their own team and what they know their team is. And it's the fact that they get a guy like a Hollywood Brown who claimed to say, yeah, there were other offers and more money out there, but it was Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Chiefs that made it a desirable place to be because I know I can win here and I know I can be accepted and I can work with one of the game's best. That's as simple as it gets. Because that's what the Chiefs do and that's the strategy they use. And if you have any sort of narc against it, you're wrong because they've won 2 in a row. They're going for 3. They've won 3 under this reign of Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Travis Kelce, and they're not done yet. And they're showing you why they're great and why they're continuing to go forward in this whole sort of three-peat mantra because, in fact, they're already in the lab working together and they've been on the team for 3 days. You love to see it. Hollywood Brown, where do you think he goes? 3rd round in fantasy drafts? Late 2nd round in fantasy drafts?
I would probably go lean late 3rd round.
You could almost take like a late pick at Rashee Rice in the 1st round and come right back around and take Hollywood Brown and be like, I'll take my chances. I wouldn't do it, but you could do that.
I still would take, obviously, Kelce and Rice over Brown if
right.
those two were
Would you available. Take Brown or would you take Pacheco first?
I'd probably take Brown, just because I don't know if Pacheco will get the touchdowns.
They simplified this offense and won a Super Bowl. Now they've added an over-the-top deep threat who's a trusted option for Patrick Mahomes and could have a four-headed monster and add a rookie wide receiver in this loaded draft. By the way, if you need to know about the draft, Character Concerns podcast, Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero drops every Wednesday. Check those guys out. Somebody says on the text line, the Cardinals have an all-you-can-drink seats in the outfield for $100 at the Big Mac landing in the outfield. It's nuts. People just get beers and get right back in the back of the line and just hang out chugging until they're back in the front of the line. It's hot dogs, hamburgers, nacho bar, Bud Light or Budweiser or Busch Light, all you can drink. Man, that's dangerous. $100, you get nachos, burgers, and a dog, and all you can drink, Bruce, sign me up. Out of left field question night, because we had a tense day. Had a lot of conversation today about a stadium. A lot of people getting frustrated. A lot of people stressed out. Let's have a fun conversation. We do the out of left field question every night at 8 o'clock when we have the show. We've only got an hour. We'll do it tonight to help you out. Then the question tonight, 913-586-7610. If animals could talk, what animal would be the smartest one? 913-586-7610. If animals could talk, which animal would be the smartest one in your opinion? 913-586-7610. JT Noah, Dusty Likens. Out of left field question next. You're listening after hours on 610 Sports Radio.